Go to 2 Corinthians 5. Verse 13. For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God, or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. Now the word beside yourself means insane. You're away from your true self. You're opposing yourself. Got it? So from this position, anyone who doesn't recognize that Jesus Christ is in them is crazy from God's perspective. Because if you're in Him, then if you're crazy for a while, it's to God. I'm God's crazy. But if I'm sober, if I understand properly, if I know the mystery, then I can't do anything except for your sake. The moment that I move towards self-realization, then I am, from God's standpoint, insane. You understand that? For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God, or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. For the love of Christ constrains us. The love of Christ pushes us into this incredible nothingness. We're squeezed through a toothpaste, the tube of toothpaste, but the hole in the tube is a micron wide. The love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then all are dead. And that he died for, or instead of, all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died and rose again, for them and rose again. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. We don't, and to know after the flesh means we don't know them after our senses. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Doesn't mean he's an improved creature. It means he's a new creation, a different race. You're no longer of the human race, because the human race died. Now let's go to Romans 5. Wait, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new, and all things are of God. Simple statements. How many times a day do you disagree with that? If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. You know no man after the flesh. You make no judgments after the flesh. Now let's go to Romans 5. Take a left a couple pages. Well, more than a couple. In verse 10, for if when we were enemies... Now, it doesn't mean, it means, the word there means a mortal enemy. If when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his death. That's what most religions preach. Most Christians preach that we're saved by his death and by his blood. But that's not what it says. It says, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. We are saved by his resurrected life. The flesh is no more to be tested because there is a new creation inhabiting the vessel. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Everything is over. Everything has been redeemed from his perspective. Everything that he wants redeemed has been redeemed. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Does not mean you're going to die. It says death has passed on all men. Is this communicating to anybody? Let's go to Matthew 22.
So you can't have a resurrection without a death.
That's right. Remember yesterday, the whole world lieth in deception. All of the world is wondering or in awe of the beast. That's not some idiot that's going to come up out of the 10 common market countries. It's you. You are the one that is wondering after the beast. The beast is speaking with a voice, but he's speaking with the voice of a dragon because you haven't accepted your death. And you know not that Jesus Christ is in you. Hope you know. Matthew 21, verse 33, I'm sorry. Hear another parable. There was a certain householder. A householder means person in charge. Almost always when the householder is mentioned in a parable, maybe always, it's talking about God. God is the householder. Hear another parable. There was a certain householder which planted a vineyard and hedged it round about and digged a winepress in it and built a tower and let it out to other husbandmen and went into a far country. And when the time of the fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the husbandmen that they might receive the fruit of it, or the fruits of it. And the husbandman took his servants and beat one and killed another and stoned another. Again, he sent other servants, more or greater than the first, and they did unto them likewise. But last of all, he sent unto them his son, saying, they will reverence my son. But when the husbandmen saw the son, they said among themselves, this is the heir, come, let us kill him, and let us seize on his inheritance. And they caught him, and cast him out of the vineyard, and slew him. When the Lord, therefore, of the vineyard cometh, what will he do unto those husbandmen? They say unto him, he will miserably destroy those wicked men, and will let out his vineyard unto other husbandmen, which shall render him the fruits in their season. And Jesus said unto them, did you never read in the Scripture, the stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore I say unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation or people bringing forth the fruit thereof. Now he's not just talking to Israel. He's talking to the human race. the kingdom of God was taken from them and given to a new race. A new race that was formed after his own being. The human race was made from dust, and he breathed into the dust, and the dust became a living soul. Christ came from him and became a life-giving. That's why it's so critical that you understand the difference between soul and spirit. Soul is meaningless. It's just a word that describes the you-ness of you. And whoever shall fall on that stone, on this stone, shall be broken. That's why we have this treasure in broken earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. But on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to the fine powder. It means the powder that's left over after the scales, after the weighing, after the judging. And when the chief priests and Pharisees heard this parable, they perceived that he spake of them. Now, do you perceive that he's speaking of you? This is the only reason that the movie The Passion of Christ had any importance, because at least a few people recognized that it wasn't the Jews. Well, it wasn't only the Jews, or it wasn't only the Romans that crucified him. It was his disciples. It was his mother. It was you, and it was me. We, as a member of the human race, crucified him. And then we run around trying to gain the gifts of God and the gifts of the Spirit on flesh. And the gift, what we're talking about now, the gift of faith on flesh. It ain't going to happen. As long as you are still living for your own self-realization, the gift of faith will never, ever be apprehended by you, even though it is already within you in nascent form. You understand? This is where the religious hucksters are. We're going to go have a deliverance ministry. We're going to have a ministry to save the lost. They can't save anybody. And just have people follow them, and then they want more follow them to justify their unbelief. Now, from every stage of the way, every step of the process, the justice and mercy and the mystery of God was always there. Man was tested in innocency with Adam and Eve. All you had to do was be, and by living, that innocence would be transformed into holiness by antagonism. Boom, bada boom, bada boom. And then Eve ate of the apple. And her eyes were opened. Actually, they weren't really opened. All she did was she saw a mirror. Once that fall happened, then there was a split between, I believe, this is not, you don't have to believe this if you want to, but I believe that's when there was a split between the conscious and subconscious mind. The moment there was a desire to know good and evil, in order that they could be right, then there was a split to give them the illusion that they could be in control.
There's independence from God.
Right. They wanted to be like God, judging for themselves good and evil. Eve did it first. Now, at that point, when she fell, the sin offering was still lying at the door. She could have repented. And Adam listened to Eve because it sounded pretty neat. So he ate it. And so what happened? He was tested, the human race was tested in innocency. And what happened? The fall. You understand it completely? But even after Adam fell, the sin offering was still lying at the door. So he could have repented. He could have abandoned himself. He could have let himself go. He was made in the image, Selim, to contain this mystery. And he was going to be transformed into likeness by the antagonism. God doesn't want innocence. He wants holiness. Holiness is tested innocence. That's why you must become as a little child. Except you be converted and become as a little child before self-awareness, you shall in no wise enter the kingdom of God. That's why the word renew, where it says, "Be ye present yourself as a living sacrifice, be not conformed to this world," etc., that you may prove what is that good and an acceptable and perfect will of God. Prove that you may test it. You're transformed by the renewing of your mind. The renewing, the word renewing is this great word, anakinesis. It means that which was and is and will be. The anakinesis part of it means that there is something already within you that was and still is. And all it wants is that your soul would be sanctified by that innocency. You have only one goal in life, if you have any sense, and that is to be transfigured. You are transfigured by the renewing of your mind. The renewing of your mind happens by bringing every single thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And I've said million times, there is no thought, there is no emotion that you can have that can stand against "it is finished." But if you live in this dream world where you think God's going to do something for you, He's going to fix something, He's going to make something better, then you're a fool. And all of the evidence of your life proves it. Anybody have any response? What?
There's a phrase, I don't know if this even has anything to do with what you just said or not, but there's a phrase about you seek an evidence of Christ working in me or something like that. But that's me. I seek an evidence of Christ working in me. It's just these words. I mean, what does that mean?
Well, it means you seek the evidence. You seek is you want to see something so you can remain in control.
That is what I was
going to
say.
Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry, I interrupted you. I thought the comma was a period in your sentence.
Go ahead. You asked me. I don't know what I'm saying. You asked me.
Because I felt the wheels grind.
All right, I don't know what's coming out, right? So I don't know if it's a comma or a period. But there's a thing in the Song of Solomon or whatever it is where she says, I see my beloved, but like just out of the corner of my eye. It's like you can't look directly and see. God is, you can't talk directly about God. You talk about things in the spirit in parables. You see God out of the corner of your eye when you don't expect it, kind of thing. And I seek an evidence that I'm not the king of the world, that the king of the universe is in me. And that can't happen as long as I'm active and trying. It can only happen as I give up and then am surprised by something moving inside me.
Remember the Romans 4 thing. To them that worketh worketh means, trying to get it right, do the best that you can, trying, whatever it is, whatever that means to you, worketh. To him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. So as long as you're continuing to work it, then you're, first of all, number one, you're always going to fail. When you fail, you can't afford, you can't show everybody else that you're failing, so you've got to hide. You've got to start putting on a face. This is who he's talking to. And you and I, in Matthew 23 and 24, are us hypocrites. We make clean the outside of the cup. There's nothing from without the man that entering into the man can defile him. That which defileth is already there. That's the fruit of the fall. All these campaigns against this and that, and it's just silly. Think you could have every bit of pornography in the universe coming at you. If you're in him, it wouldn't affect you. There's no interest in it.
What was that organization of the Christians Against Sinful
CASA?
Huh?
CASA. Christians Against Sinful Activity.
Is that an article in the next issue?
It was on a
chippy.
It was on a bulletin board at the church.
An actual organization.
I should write about that.
Well, they're having a America for Jesus rally in Washington, D.C.
Well, I mean, you know, that again, I know this is hard for Harry to understand, but I rejoice in that because Christ is preached and some will hear the mystery.
Anyway, the rest of what I was going on is I'm always, it's just such a pleasant, the word serendipitous comes to mind. It's just this pleasant, unexpected surprise that everything always works out okay. And amen. I didn't figure it out or cause it to happen.
Well, then, man, after he was tested in innocency and the flood came, then he was tested without the law. I mean, innocency in the fall came, then he was tested without the law. And there was massive, unbelievable stuff. We can't even comprehend it. But anyway, the fruit of that was the flood. And it says that Noah condemned the world by his obedience. Because he wasn't the type of Christ. The ark was the type of Christ. Then it was tested with human law. Remember the laws that are listed in Genesis 9. It's, you know, you got to drain the blood before you eat the stuff, the meat. You got to, whatever it is. You can go there and read it yourself. It's Genesis 9, 3 to 6. And all that happened was there's massive idolatry. And this is the human race. He's always dealing with the human race. Then he chose one family out of the human race. No, what happened? Because of Abraham's rebellion, they ended up in bondage in the world. Then he gave the perfect law. There's nothing but rebellion. And he sent his prophets. It was the parable we just read. They stoned some, they beat some. And he sent prophets greater than Noah's, and they killed them. And they sent his son. He sent his son. The householder sent his son. And what happened? Not to Israel or to the Jews, but what happened to the human race. That's what you have to see. The human race killed the son. In his mercy, he tested it one more time after the resurrection. And John, whatever it is, John 20, verse 22, it says he breathed the Holy Spirit on them. And then what did they do? Peter took six of the disciples and returned to their former life of fishing, hoping to use this new thing, this gift of the Holy Spirit on the flesh, to improve their lives. All failed. So his own Zeruah, his own right arm, has gotten him the victory. And this is repeated over and over and over in the prophets. His own seed has gotten him the victory. Jesus Christ alone has immortality. You don't have immortality. Only that which came from the Father can return to the Father. And it doesn't matter what you think about stuff. I mean, I get these daily. I don't know how I got so many mailing lists, but one of them is from Azusa.com. And so it's praise reports from all over the world. Oh, these number of people were saved. These number of people were healed. This happened and that happened. Then you read about, well, this is what's happening in the Muslim world. And this is what's happening in the Buddhist world. And this is what's happening in Shinto. And it doesn't matter. The vision, I guess it was a vision, but when I was standing in that treasure place in Vienna, Austria, and saw that, what was allegedly the sword of destiny, the lance that pierced the side of Christ, I mean, I've talked about it, but I had this incredible... I left, and this was all on camera. I stood there for about 10 minutes, totally transfixed, with tears running down my eyes. And I saw these millions and millions and billions of people, just droves of people, herds of people, all moving toward, trying to climb mountains, trying to do this, trying to get that right, trying to do their best, trying to figure it out. And it just was the saddest thing I'd ever seen. Because the dead men were trying to live without the thing that gives them life. Now all of this failed. And all of the human race failed. Now it's resurrection only. The flesh is no more to be tested. Oh, God wants us to be, wants everybody to be healed. I watched Paula White this morning on Benny. She was a guest on Benny's program for about 5 minutes. I just about threw my cane through the television. She's not talking about the God that I know or His Son. She's talking about using Him or trying to use Him for her own personal benefit. And she uses words and sorcery and... I mean, it's just crazy. Well, you're a warlock. Do you understand? That's why the call was to be baptized, because baptism is burial. It seals the fact that you are dead. Flesh is no more to be tested. It doesn't have anything to do with anything. It's just the broken vessel. Now, I said all that to say this. You got to understand, you got to see from God's perspective that there is no more, from God's perspective, human race. There's only vessels of wrath, which are fit for destruction, and vessels of mercy, which live in abandonment of self, without regard to self. Now, all of us fail, because during the process of this, of testing that perfect will of God, We are tempted to give thought to self. I still repent all the time, but any time that I became, that I thought about me, especially during all the time when I was in so much pain, I knew that even from that I had to say, Father, forgive me, because I was making me the subject of my sentence. I had to leave me behind. I mean, that's all I did was repent. I mean, this is cosmic. This isn't some little thought form. This isn't some little deal. We can go to the store and get a little book that tells us. You have to live it. And you have to live it by abandoning yourself and accepting your death. Then you will follow Him because He is your life. Now He is making a people of Himself. His own seed has gotten Him the victory. And so the gospel and the birth and death and resurrection of Christ was the worst possible news the human race could have. It's the gospel of God. It's good news to God. But when we make it and try to package it to be good news to men to attract followers, we're doing unmeasurable harm. And I'm not talking about what anybody else is doing. I'm talking about what you are doing. And if you live in the temple, still with you as seated on the throne, judging for yourself what you should and shouldn't do, what you like and what you don't like, wanting to be right, then you've lost the mystery. And it must be repented of. But godly repentance isn't meaning, you know, it's not, oh, I'm sorry. Godly repentance is repentance not to be repented of. You don't have to keep doing the same damn thing over and over again. Because we have been born again unto a lively hope by His resurrection from the dead. It's no longer I that live, but Christ that liveth in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. This isn't an option. Anybody have any response? Let me coda it. The reason for all this is that the gift of faith cannot be apprehended as long as you're in the flesh. People can run around and do stuff and act like, you know, use crowd, the dynamics of crowds and act like people are healed and knock over and all of this stuff. But it's not real. It's just dependent on crowd dynamics. The Holy Spirit doesn't need any kind of soft music or lighting or crowds or atmosphere for His anointing, because His anointing, the anointing is the Christ within you. Anybody have any questions? Do you all understand this? Speak now or forever hold your peace.
I was thinking you're talking about the figuring things out. The picture I was getting was like Perry was talking about occasionally, like we're riding along in our car and we think, you know, isn't this car a wonderful machine? You know, it must be wild the way it's put together, you know. But then somebody, if you're in this position where you don't, you know, you're actually trying to put a car together, you know, it's like, I've got to figure this out. But there's no way, because you have no idea how all these things fit together. But to us, it's like we're driving along, we're being carried along, and we're going. You know, every occasionally it's like, hey, this is pretty wild. And, you know, we're in this car driving along. You don't think about that all the time. But somebody who's, you know, if you're in that place of trying to, you know, make it all work yourself, you know, it's like 100 parts scattered around, doesn't look like anything. And there's no way get there without.
That was Mrs. Moses.
Yeah, Mrs. Moses, like the tabernacle.
All of the
puts itself together and
the cunning artifact, the cunning workmen, they built all the parts of the tabernacle, and it was laying on Mrs. Moses' front lawn for 3 months.
She was yelling at Moses
all morning, and on one of the feast days she woke up and the tabernacle had risen.
One of the times we were in your office and you were yelling at me.
That's always
a safe assumption. If I were going to pick any point in time, I would be safe in guessing it would be in your office and you'd be yelling at me about sex outside of marriage and trying to have a.
Was this the Allison, whatever her name was? The Seattle Alexis. Affair? Lexus?
Now I forgot what I was going to say. He's
right back there.
Okay, you're in my office.
Okay, the idea of trying to start from the outside and work in. Starting with the physical to become mental, to become spiritual, rather than from the inside out. And what you were just saying about the gifts of the Spirit, it's like what the world does is starts with healing and miracles and stuff, hoping that that will somehow get you into the fundamental change, which is the fear of God and the knowledge and faith. And it's exactly the opposite. What we're talking about, these first three gifts, that other stuff is simply the stuff that happens in the wake of the ship as it goes by. It's
remember, there's a the way in which, when we studied the tabernacle, and we the way that the first thing was discussed was the ark, and you know, this went out, it was discussed from outside in. But God, and it's the same with this, what you said, it's always the opposite in terms of what the way it's apprehended.
You can see the huge amount of stuff that's involved in that statement about when Peter and the other disciples would walk by, people were healed by their shadow. It's just the presence of a man of faith changes everything.
Changes everything. This is bigger than you can ever dream of. It's more awesome than there are words to talk about it. And every word in this Bible confirms this. That's why if it isn't part and parcel, then search the Scriptures to see whether these things be so. Just don't go off and do your own thing and say, well, just screw him. This is why I want you to speak, to talk, to bring forth whatever is there.
Oh, but if I say that, you'll yell at me and I'll interrupt you.
Well, that's just part of the process. I'm too old and I've gone too far to start worrying about whether or not I'm doing something that offends you or not.
Step one.
What?
You're just flat-assed impolite.
I'm rude. I'm impolite.
Churlish.
Curlish. Churlish. Out. Churlish and curlish. I'm not curlish. I got short hair, though. Pretty soon my hair's going to be as short as Harry's. Please, 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 I beg of you, if this isn't meat to you, then study to show yourself approved, rightly dividing the word of truth. Don't just sit around and read books or go to movies or watch television. Amen?
Amen.
Take it, big guy.